We'll say good morning. Let's begin a guten kvittel, a piskatov to everyone. I know people have places to be today, so we're going to go a little bit faster just to be able to get everything in. So we left off top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Rav Ashi Savar. So we'll say, remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we had a fundamental machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Fundamental machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in terms of what's the nature of the relationship between the Yavam and the other women, as well as, today's Yud Aleph. So remember again, Reish Lakish was the one who said that Lamaisa, I'll read to you quickly. Reish Lakish said that the brother who goes ahead and does Chalitza, if he were to then go ahead and remarry the sister with whom he did Chalitza, he would not be Chayiv Karis, he'd only be Chayiv Alav, but for the other brothers, if they were to have relations with the Chalitza, they'd have a Chayiv Karis. But for everyone, for all the brothers, both the one who did Chalitza as well as the other brothers, if they were to have relations with the Tsaros, everyone is Chayiv Karis. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds that no, halach lamaisa, once one of the brothers does Chalitza, if either the brother did Chalitza or any of the other brothers were to go ahead and have relations with the Chalitza, it would only be a lav. It would only be a lav, and so too that would also apply to the Tzara as well. Okay, so the Gemara says the final. Rav Ashi, Sarvalak Reish Lakish. Rav Ashi holds like Reish Lakish, Umetaris like Reb Shimon. And the end, I remember in the end of yesterday's daf, so both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish asked from inferences on the Mishnah on one another. Bless you. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi holds like Reish Lakish, and he answers the Kasha with Reb Shimon. What does that mean? Ravina Sarvalak Reb Yochanan, Umetaris Kerabanan, and Ravina holds like Reb Yochanan, and he understands the question of the Braisa like the Rabban. I will say, what are we referring to over here? Rav Ashi Sarvalak Reish Lakish, Umetaris like Reb Shimon. So what is Rashi Shita? Hacholitz the Yevimto, v'chazer v'kidsha. If a man went ahead and did Chalitza with his Yevama, and then he went ahead and did Kiddushin with her again afterwards, so tzricha Chalitza min ha'achin. So she requires Chalitza from the other brothers. Man achin. Now, also remember, this case over here is, just to clarify the case, Ruvain goes ahead and does Chalitza with Leah. Let's keep it easy. Yaakov does Chalitza with Leah. No, Reuven does Chalitza with one of his brothers. Reuven does Chalitza with Leah, and then what happens? He decides to remarry her. Reuven then dies, childless. So the Shaila now, of course, becomes, what is the obligation on, let's say, Shimon to go out and do Chalitza with his brother, or to do Yibam with his brother's wife, given the fact that, remember, Reuven's marriage to Leah was technically what? Was an illegal marriage. An illegal marriage because again he did chalitza. So the Gemara says the following: illegal, aser. So if someone did chalitza with his yavama, then he subsequently remarried her, and then parentheses he died. So what's the halacha? Tzricha chalitza mina achin. Leah must do chalitza with the surviving brothers. Man achin. So which brothers are we referring to over here? Achin hayilodim. This is referring again, right? Well, so if you look at Rashi, hayilodim shenol du achar kiddushin shel zeh. This refers to brothers who were born after Reuven did the kiddushin. Remember, brothers that were born. Remember, Reuven did chalitza with Leah, then he remarried her. So these are referring to brothers who were born after the act of Kiddushin, Rashi says. Velo istara alayu b'chalitzaso, d'hazeka kamaisa lo ramai kamay liyabume. So let's listen to this. So in this case over here, why are they chayiv in Yibum? Because these brothers were not alive at the time that what? That the first brother, that Reuven, who is now deceased, that Reuven did chalitza with Leah. They were only born when? After Reuven was Mekadesh Leah. So because of that, again, they don't have a relationship to Leah prior to the Kiddushin of brother Reuven. And therefore, Lemaisa, when Reuven dies, they are obligated in either Yibam or Chalitza with their sister-in-law. Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? This is Rabbi Shimon. Amad Echad Min Hanolad in the Kitcha. If one of the brothers who were born got up and was Mekadesher, Ein la alav klum. So they have no claims against them. Kiman, Kiresh Lakish. So we'll say again, remember that second part of the Braisa that ultimately says if one of the brothers did in fact do Yibum, so she has no claim against them. Look at Rashi. So Amad Echa Min HaNoladim. Now remember over here, Shayu B'Shas Chalitza Rishon. Now we're switching a little bit. Amad Echa Min HaNoladim over here means what? Means that if one of the brothers who was alive at the time that Reuven did Chalitza, and one of these brothers subsequently married this girl, they did Yibum with her, such a relationship is illegal, and therefore she would have no claim against him. Kiman, whose opinion is in effect, Reish Lakish. So both sides, in other words, just to make this a little bit easier, Ravashi is breaking up the cases into two different pieces. If you have the case, remember the baseline case is the same. Reuven did Chalitza with Leah, and then subsequently was Mekadesher. So there are two different possibilities. Possibility number one is if there were no brothers who were alive at the time that Reuven was Mekadesher, brothers were born after the fact, after the Kiddushin occurred, then those brothers have no relationship to the first act of Chalitza. Therefore, when Reuven dies, they are obligated in Yibum towards their sister-in-law. On the other hand, if what? If brothers were alive at the time that Reuven both did Chalitza, as well as what? Was Mekadesher again, then those brothers are prohibited from engaging in any type of Yibum type scenario with her. Ravina holds on the other hand. Ravina Savala, ki Rabbi Yochanan, omitaritz aliba dirabanan. So Ravina holds like Rabbi Yochanan, and he answers up the contradiction like dirabanan. Hacholitz liyavim tova chazer v'kidsha, if someone did chalitza with his yivama, and then he subsequently was mekadesher, tzricha chalitza min ha'achin. She requires chalitza from the brothers. Man achin, who are these brothers? Achin hanoladim. These are brothers ultimately, again, what? These are brothers who were alive. Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? This is Rabbi Yochanan. Amad echam in hayulodim v'kid she'in alav klom. But if one of the brothers who was born after the fact was Mekadesh, meaning after the Kiddushin, so she has no claim against them, i.e. there's no real marriage. Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? This is the Rabbanan. Okay, fine. So says the Rabbi. So the point over here is we're still left with this same fundamental dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Itmar, ha'yivama, if a man ultimately has relations with the yivama, uba echad min ha'achin al tsarasa, and then one of the other brothers goes ahead and what? Has relations with one of the tsaros, right? With one of the co-wives. So pligi barba, say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment over here, so Rashi says over here, actually not yet, I'm sorry, pligi bar rav acha v'ravina. Now, we'll say, now what the Gemara is pointing out of here is the following. Let me read to you. And so, before we go on to this, let me show you the halacha. So, the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Yibum discusses these particular cases. So, first, a couple of things just to kind of go ahead and get in line. So, the Rambam is in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes writes, Misha hayalo nashim rabos umeis bi'aso chalitzasa shel achas man pateres es ashar. Let's say a man dies and leaves multiple wives. The chi of Yibum or Chalitza is only on one wife. Only on one wife. Meaning, so if Reuven dies and he had three wives, Shimon only does Yibum or Chalitza with one of those wives, not with more than one. In fact, it is usher to go ahead and do Yibum or Chalitza with more than one wife. So the Rambam writes, he says, he can't do Yibum with two sisters-in-law, Shine Emar, Asher lo yivna es beis achiv, bayis echot hu bona, ve'eno bona shnei batim. Because the mitzvah of Yibum is to build a home for the deceased brother, not to build more than one home. Similarly, v'chinim hayu lo achim rabim, echal mehen choletz o miyabim la'achas min avamos v'yusru shtarazos. Well, similarly again, let's say there are multiple surviving brothers. Reuven dies, and Shimon Levi Yehuda are his brothers. So what's the halacha? Only one brother does Yibum or Chalitza. So this is very important because, remember again, from Reish Lakish's sheet, that it wasn't clear exactly, like, who's doing what. It seems, it's clear, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, which means Ginabosai. In a case of multiple wives or multiple brothers, there is never more than one act of Yibum or Chalitza that is occurring. So when one brother does Yibum or Chalitza, that means that takes care of the obligation of all the surviving brothers. And when he does that with one wife or one co-wife, again, wife, doesn't matter, that's what the act of Yibum or Chalitza with one wife, by definition, takes takes care of everyone else. And again, if you were to go ahead and have relations with any of these other women, so if any of the other brothers were to go ahead and, let's say, have relations with any of their former sister-in-laws, the Rambam paskens it's a lav. It's a lav. It's only a prohibition. It's not kares. Why is it not kares? Because again, the brother's dead. So because the brother's dead, therefore that woman can't be considered eshesach. She's not really his brother's wife. Therefore, again, it's a lav. So that's how he paskin. Now, based on that,
after the chalitza.
Correct. So now, based on that, the Gemara asks. Now that you have that, the Gemara says the following: Itmar haba'a yevama uba echal mina achin al tsarasa. So we'll say, let's say you have one brother who's doing yibum. One brother's doing yibum. And another one of the brothers also has relations with one of the co-wives. So what's the halacha? Pligi barav achav ravina. Chad amar bekaris. So one opinion says, now both say, obviously that first brother who did yibum, so he did yibum. The shayla is, what is the status of the act of the second brother? So Ravina says, kares. Why kares, Rabosai? Because according to Ravina, that other wife has the status of what? Has the status of the Eishas Ach, a brother's wife, in which case, again, she's Asur Midorai Sekaris. The Chadram, the other opinion, said, no, Ba'aseh. He's only in violation of an Aseh. Now, I will say, what would the Aseh be? So I'm actually writes this, because the passage says, Yevama Yavo Aleha. Lo Aleha Ve'al Tsarasa. Because the Torah says, Yevama Yavo Aleha, that the surviving brother should go and have relations with her. So with her, and not with someone else. So according to this opinion, he's violation of an Aseh, not even of a prohibition. Mandarim b'karis k'resh lakish. So the mandarim who says that the brother violates that these curse karis like k'resh lakish. Umandarim ba'asei k'Rabbi Yochanan. And the mandarim who says that he only violates and asei is like Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbos say essentially halacha l'maisa we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So only one brother does yibum with only one wife. But should any of the other brothers have relations with any of the other former sisters-in-law, l'maisa again it is only perhaps at most a lav. But most probably only a violation of an assay. Okay, and that is halacha l'maisa. So Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amrei Yehuda Amarav, Tsaras Sota Asura. So it was actually very interesting. The co-wife of a Sota. Now, what's the Sota in this case? If I look at Rashi, Tsaras Sota Asura, second one line in Rashi, Haya Nasui Beis Nashim, if a man was married to two women, Vizinsa Achas Tachtov, and one of them committed adultery, V'yesh Edim. And there are witnesses to the fact that she committed adultery. And I will say, again, you could have a situation where we know that a woman committed adultery, but she's not necessarily going to be put to death. Why? Because remember, in order to be put to death, in order to be executed, you have to satisfy all different types of criteria. So let's say she doesn't meet the sentence for criteria, but it's clear that she committed adultery. So imagine this case. So Yaakov is married to Rachel and Leah, and what happens? Leah committed adultery. Right? Now what happens? Yaakov dies without children. Meis blobanim. Hivit sarasa petura afmina chalitza. Both wives, says Rashi, are potter from yibum or chalitza. My time, tumak sivba v'nistra v'hinitma ka'arayos t'chsiv al titam b'choleis. We'll say go back to the Gemara in just a moment. So Tzara Sota, so the co-wife of a Sota, co-wife of a woman who committed adultery. So again, remember, let's keep it actually easier. Reuven is married to two women, to Rachel and to Leah. Leah committed adultery. Now the Gemara is saying that because Leah committed adultery, which Rabbi say obviously means Leah is not going to do Yibum. Actually, we'll discuss that. They're calling her Sota as another name for adulteress. But she did not go through the process of the bitter waters. Correct. So we'll say, so what happens? Now what we're saying is the co-wife of the Sota is Petura is exempt, or not exempt, is Aser in Yibum. Why? Tuma ksiba, because Rabbi say it says by Sota, it says by adultery. Tuma ka'arayos. So it says Tuma by adultery, and it says Tuma by the Arayos, by the forbidden relationships. Just like we've established that what? That you can't do Yibam in a case of Arayos, in a case of Erva. Sota, you can't do Yibam in a case of what? In a case of Saras Sota as well. Rav Chista is the Kasha. Rabbi Shimon says, Bi'asa o chalitzasa me'achav sharishon, potera sarasa. But yet, Rav Chista is the Kasha, that Rabbi Shimon said that either the Bia or Chalitza from the first brother exempts the koif. And I will say, what is this talking about? Look at Rashi. Bi'aso Chalitzasa, Rashi says, Ha'isha shahalach baila l'medina sayam. If you have a situation of a woman whose husband went overseas, Uba'u va'amrala meis ba'alech. And they came and they said to her, look, your husband died. Vinisei, Sabosai, remember, so Yaakov's married to Leah. Yaakov goes overseas. And what happens? They come in and tell Leah, your husband died. Your husband died overseas. And what happened? She got remarried based on this statement. Va'achakach ba baila. And then what happens? Surprise, Yaakov comes back. Yaakov's not dead, right? He comes back. Teitzei mizeh umizeh. The halacha is what? So Leah has to divorce her. She has to divorce her current husband and Yaakov as well. Why? Because essentially what's happened? She's committed adultery. Now granted, it's accidental adultery. It's unintentional adultery. But it's adultery nevertheless. Therefore, she may not remain married to either man. So Rashi says over here, Mesu, ek Mesu. Now what happens, Rabosai, if Lemaisa again, Yaakov, her first husband, the brothers of her first husband die. Excuse me, I'll take that back. Her first husband dies. So Yaakov comes back. But Yaakov dies without children. What's that, halacha? Achiv shalzev, achiv shalzev, choltsim v'lo misyam. So it's very interesting. So this is, if either husband number one or husband number two died, what is the halacha? The halacha is that both as the surviving brothers have to do chalitza and not yibum. Now both say, now listen to this. So Rabbi Shimon says, Bi aso chalitza sameachav sharishon poteresi lechatchila esara sa shahari kishar nashon legabi yibum delo kansum rabbanam yavam devade shariyle shanusa haisa sheshama shemes alma nivola tachas baila shariyle tzaras liyavim. So both say, Rabbi Shimon on the other hand says that what? That the prohibition of yibum is only upon the wife, but the co-wife herself, the co-wife the tzara, will be permitted in Yibayisa Chalitzasa Me'achav Shalishon Poteres Sarasa. So we'll say, what do you see from here? So once the primary wife does Yibum, so to speak, so again that permits the Tzara. The Tzara is not prohibited. So what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, there is Yibum or Chalitza even in an adultery type of circumstance. Because remember, again, this is essentially an adultery circumstance, unintentional adultery circumstance, but adultery circumstance nevertheless. And what do we see? We see that there is a yibum situation. Look at Rashi. Again, Rashi finishes. He says over here, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Aso Chalitzasa Me'achav Shalishon Pauteresi L'chatkila Sarasa Sobia or Chalitza with the brother of the first husband goes ahead and exempts her for the Chatkila Sarasa Sharehiki Sharnashon L'gabe Yavam T'lokas Rabbanam. So we'll say Rabbi Shimon essentially says that L'maisa, the penalty that we put on the first wife is not a penalty legabe yibum. When it comes to yibum, we allow her to do yibum, since at the end of the day, this is totally unavoidable circumstances. Rabbi said, the point of it is, what do we see? We see that lemaisa, there is yibum and chalitza, even in what? Even in an adultery circumstance. Amar lach, Rav would say to you, Amina lacha ana sota da'araisa, va'at amrit li sota da'rabanan. How can you compare those cases? I'm talking about a sota d'oraisa, literally a woman who committed bona fide adultery. You're bringing a case of what? Now he calls it a sota d'rabanan. Well, so what does it mean a sota d'rabanan? This is not a real case of adultery. Why is it not a real case of adultery? Because lemaisa, again, she got married based on the psak of beis din. Granted, it's technical adultery, but the fact that when her husband dies childless, that there'd be yibum and chalitza in that case, that's not such a chiddush, because again, she's not really an adulteress. Rav is saying, I'm asking you about a significant, real, bona fide case of adultery. So the one who brought up this case, what was he thinking? So his thought was, Rabbi said, that whenever the rabbis create their laws, they always model their laws after what? After biblical realities. Okay. Masi Ravashi. Ravashi raises the kasha. Nichnasa imo l'seiser. Vishasa imo k'dei tumah. We'll say, if a man warned his wife about being alone with a particular man, another man, and she went in with him to a private place, and she stayed with him there long enough for something to have happened, asura lebesa, she's prohibited to her husband, meaning she can't live with her husband, v'asura le'echo b'truma, and if her husband was a kohen, she is not permitted to go in and partake of the truma. V'imeis, but if the husband died childless, then what? Choletzes, v'lo misyavemes. So Rabbi say, what happens? She does chalitza and not yibum. Rabbi say, what do you see from here? You see from here that even a woman suspected of adultery is still what? It's the subject to the laws of yibum. Amar lecha Rav. Rav said, what are you talking about? Amina lach ana sota vadai. The case that I brought up, Rabosai, where Rav said that a woman who is an adulteress does not commit, does not engage in yibum or chalitza, right? Neither he nor her tzara, right? That was Rav Shita. That Rav said, tzaras sota asura. That again, the koif of us, so Rav said, I'm talking about a sota vadai, a woman who we know definitively committed adultery. The amrit li'at sota sabek, what are you bringing me? You're bringing me, Rabosai, what? A circumstantial adulteress. Why is she a circumstantial adulteress? Because at the end of the day, all I know is that her husband told her that she is not permitted to be alone with this man, and she was alone with him for enough time for something to have occurred. Does that make her an absolute adulteress? No. No. Therefore, again, what kind of kasha is that? So the Gemara says, Umayishna sota vadai. Why is it that Rav said that the tzara of a sota vadai, the tzara of a sota vadai, is exempt from yibum? Mishun dechsiv batuma. Because we'll say, remember what? We'll say, Amud base four lines down. Because by sota it says tuma, and by arayos it says tuma. Just like by arayos there is no yibum, so too by sota, by adultery there will be no yibum. Tamar says, 1 second, if that's the case, sota sapek nami tuma ksibaba. It also says the word tuma by a sota suffix. This sanya, where does it say tuma by a sota suffix? This sanya, Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar Omer ben Kifar, Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar says, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Neiro Rabbi Elazar, Hamachzir Gushasa Minanisuin Asura Mina Eris in Muteres. So we'll say Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar says, Neiro Rabbi Elazar, that if somebody divorced the woman and then she married someone else, and then she subsequently gets divorced from her second husband, if husband number one goes ahead and remarries her after she had nisuin with husband number two, then she is asura, then she is prohibited. However, mina irusin, if all she had was irusin with husband number two, betrothal, but they never lived together as husband and wife, then when husband number two divorces her, she's permitted to what? Remarry husband number one. Mishum shene emar, because the pasuk says, acharei asher hutam'ah. Because the pasuk that speaks about machzir gushaso, the pasuk that speaks about going ahead and what? And remarrying your wife whom you divorced, and then went ahead and married someone else, says you can't remarry her when? Acharei asher hutama, after she was defiled. Now defiled refers to what? Defiled refers to the fact that she had relations with husband number two. Therefore, if she never had relations with husband number two, she just had Erusin with him, and then they get divorced from Erusin, then what? Then what? Then husband number one is permitted to go and remarry her. The Chum say no. Achas zuva achas zu asura. Not true. Once she got married to husband number two, whether they had Nisuin or whether they just had Erusin, she is still prohibited to remarry husband number one. I both say that's the way we pass in halacha l'maisa. Once a couple gets divorced, If wife goes ahead and just engages in Erusin, for example, if Reuven's divorcee is under the chuppah with Shimon, and he gives her an ariat mikudash asli, they have kiddush, and she says, I have a change of heart, I'm still in love with Reuven, and she runs back to Reuven, we pass like tachachamim that she is not permitted to remarry Reuven. Once halacha lemaisa she had Erusin with another man, she is not permitted to remarry her first ex-husband. Ella ma'ani mekayim acharei hatumah. If that's the case, then what do I do with that phrase? Acharei hatumah. Remember, Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar says, acharei hatumah teaches us that what? That she's only prohibited to her first husband after what? After she had relations with the second husband. Acharei hatumah. But again, according to the Chachamim who say that it's not true, that she's prohibited to the first husband immediately after what? Immediately after Erusin with the second husband, what do they do? What do the Chum do with the phrase Acharei hatumah? I'll tell you, Lerabos Sota Shenistera. This is very interesting. They understand that in fact that phrase is not referring to what? Is not referring to a woman who got married a second time, but rather referring to a Sota Shenistera. So the Gemara says, now Nistera means Umay Nistera. What is Nistera? Nivala. It means to a woman who committed adultery. Va'amai karila nistera. So if it means that she committed adultery, why do you call it nistera, that she was hidden away? Lishna ma'al yanakat. Sometimes we like to use a little bit of a nicer lashon. So we'll say, this is very interesting, that Lemaisa, what the Gemara is suggesting is, that in the midst of this pasuk, what's going on over here today? right? In the midst of this pasuk, in the midst of this pasuk that seems to be talking about, in the midst of Satan comes in all shapes and sizes, right? So in the midst of the pasuk that talks about, in the midst of the pasuk that talks about, again, the prohibition of a man to remarry a woman who he divorced, according to the Rabbanan, so remember, the Rabbanan Paskin, that prohibition applies whether she had Erisin or Nisun with husband number two. Now the Rabbanan advance a very novel idea, which is that there's a phrase in that pasuk, Acharei Asher Hutama, Acharei Hutama, which tells us that it's referring to what? It's referring to a woman who committed adultery. And telling us that a woman who committed adultery is going to be, Asur, is going to be prohibited to her husband. So the Gemara says, Tuma Behejik Sivabei. But Rabbi say, if that's the case, that you're telling me that that's referring to a woman who committed adultery, so we already have it, it's already stated explicitly, Vinistera Vehi Nitma'a. The pasuk says explicitly she was hidden away and she became defiled. Lamekam ala balav. No, so that extra phase, Rabbi say, Achariyu Tama tells us that if a man is together with his wife who committed adultery, then what? He is in violation of alav. Achariyu Tama. Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar, lav besota lesle. Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar obviously does not hold that phrase Acharehu Tama is referring to a sota. He says it's referring to a woman who got remarried after being divorced the first time. Because why? Because Rabbi Yossi holds Afilu Zanai Namimai. Rabbi Yossi holds that even Lamaisa, even if a woman committed adultery, look at Rashi, Rabbi Yossi. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Rabbi Yossi, lav besota, Rashi says, hazmana, hamizana tachas by lesle, vafilu pshitan design. Because also Rabbi Yossi holds that Lamaisa, even if a woman went ahead and committed adultery, even if she committed adultery, Rabbi Yossi holds that Lamaisa, again, she still has the ability to have a marriage with her first husband. Where do we get that from? My taima, Zimara says, taima, havaya vi ishus ksibbe. Because Rabbi Yossi, even after a woman committed adultery, there is still a marital bond that remains intact. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, what comes out from this case is the following. First of all, again, we pass in that if a woman, in fact, we pass like the statement of Rav, that in fact, if a woman is a sota, a man dies, a woman committed adultery, and then husband dies childless, of course, the woman herself, the sota herself, the adulteress herself, cannot engage in yibum. Why? Because again, she's just like an erva. She's like an arayas. But she even goes ahead and asers her tsara. She even goes ahead and asers her co-wife from committing yibum as well. Fine. Next case. Now, a very interesting case. Let's say a man, Reuven was married to Leah. Then Reuven divorces her. Leah goes on to marry another guy. He dies or she gets divorced. And then what happens? Reuven remarries his grusha, which of course the Bosai is Asr. You're not allowed to do that. Reuven remarried his grusha. And then what? And then Reuven dies without children. Reuven dies childless. So what is the halacha? Sa'aliba d'Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar lo tibayilach. So according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar, that's obvious. Kevan da'am Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar tuma b'machzir grushasu ksiva. Remember, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar, who says that phrase, acharehu tam'a, is referring to what? Machzir grushasu, a man who remarries his divorcee, then it's obvious that what? That in the same way that the brothers can't do yibum with the wife, they also can't do yibum with the tsara, with the co-wife. Right? She disqualifies everyone because essentially it says tuma by machzir grushasu, which essentially puts her in the same category as an erva. So just like a woman who's an erva can't do yibum and disqualifies her co-wives, so too machzir grushasu will also be an erva and disqualify her co-wives. And if you want to say, well, we could disqualify this woman from yibum from the fact that the Torah calls her a to'eva, an abomination, meaning it's an abomination to remarry your ex-wife who was subsequently married to someone else.
But if the marriage can't happen anyway, why would it even come
up? No, because the marriage can't happen. Because remember, again, this is only a lav. is only a lav. The only time everyone agrees that marriage can't happen is a relationship that's punishable by death or kares. But a relationship that's punishable only by a lav, Rabbi Akiva, as you saw yesterday, Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no kiddushin by chai ve'lavin, but everyone else disagrees with that and says that there is kiddushin even by chai ve'lavin. Even though it's wrong, it works. You know, it's wrong, it works. So maybe you'll say that the reason that Machzir Grushaso can't work is because it says Toeva. So which the Gemara answers, no, because he Toeva ve'in baneha to'avin. Hatsarasa Toeva. So we'll say, I would say the following. Because remember again, the word Toeva means that she is a Toeva, meaning the Machzir Grushaso, the woman who remarries, she's the abomination, but what? Her children are not the abomination. So we'll say, which means what? That children that are born from such a union are absolutely kosher. Absolutely kosher. There's no pigam in them, which I will say means, let's say again, in this case, Reuven divorced Leah. Leah went to marry another guy. That guy divorces Leah. Leah remarries Reuven, which is Aser. Then they have a daughter together. That daughter is permitted to marry a Kohen. There's no mark on their lineage. However, Hatzarasa Toiva, but perhaps I would say that her Tzara, the co-wife, is a Toiva. So kiti baylach alibud rabbanim. So when do I need the pasuk? I need the pasuk according to rabbanim. Afagav the amar rabbanim b'tumah b'sota. So even though again according to the rabbanim they have tumah by sota. Excuse me. Afagav the rabbanim tumah b'sota kudichsev. Even though by the rabbanim by also remember this is talking about the phrase of acharehu tamah. Remember according to the rabbanim that's referring to what? Not to machzir grushoso, but rather to what? But rather referring to an isha sota, to an adulteress. Nevertheless, I would have said ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. I would have said still there's still a pashup shan the pasuk. A pashup shan the pasuk is that it's not talking about a sota, but rather who is it talking about? It's talking about lamaisa. It's talking about a woman machzir grushoso. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps I would say kevan di'i'aker i'aker, or I say perhaps once that phrase was uprooted and now it means something different, perhaps that new interpretation sticks. And even though the phrase is mentioned in context of Machzir Grushaso, it's not really referring to Machzir Grushaso. Ika da Amri, some say, Aliba drabon lo te ba'ilach, according to Rabbi Zonah Bekasha, kevan di'is'aker i'aker, because once that phrase was uprooted from the normative part of the pasuk, meaning once I said that phrase, even though that phrase is in the context of Machzir Grushaso, but I'm saying it doesn't refer to Machzir Grushaso, it refers ultimately to Sota. That interpretation sticks. Kiti Bailach, where does the Kasha come up? Alib Rabbi Yossi ben Kefar. According to Rabbi Yossi ben Kefar, Mai, what's the Kasha? Afak Abdur Rabbi Yossi ben Kefar, Tuma, the Machzir Grushaso Dixiva. Because even though again Rabbi Yossi ben Kefar says that Achariu Tama is referring to Machzir Grushaso, Miet Rachmana, Hito Eva, the In Sarasa To Eva. I would have said that what? That the Torah Dafka goes ahead and says, when it says Hito Eva, that only again the Machzir Grushaso is a Ta'eva, but what? But her Tzara is not, and therefore Tzara should be permitted in Yibum, Ol Dilma, Hito Eva, Ve'in Banah To'avin, Hatzara Sa'eva. On the other hand, perhaps I would say, no, it means that she, i.e. the Machzir Grushaso, she is a Ta'eva, her Tzara is a Ta'eva, who's not a Ta'eva? The children from that union. Amarle, so he said, Tinisua. We learned this already. Haisa achas ksheira va'achas p'sula. Says it's actually very interesting. If let's say again, Reuven dies and Reuven leaves two wives. I will say nothing illicit in this case over here. It's just boring, a regular case. No illegal marriages. So, but watch, this is actually very interesting. Reuven dies and leaves two wives. One is ksheira, one is p'sula. We'll define those terms in just a moment. Im hayacholeitz cholitz p'sula. If you're going to do chalitza, you should do chalitza with the wife who's psula. V'im hayom yavim. But if you're going to do yibum, miyavim l'ksher. You should do yibum with the kshera wife. My ksher, my psula. What do these terms mean? Ilema, kshera, kshera la'ama, psula, psula la'ama. So perhaps say what Rabbi say? The kshera means what? Kshera la'ama. Rabbi say, what does that mean? That this is a woman who's permitted to marry a kohen. And psula means that she's not permitted to marry a kohen. Kevan l'didein chazye, my nafgale mina. But who cares about kahuna? We're not talking about a case of a kohen over here. At the end of the day, l'maisa again, if the surviving brother is not a kohen, what does it matter who he does yibam with, or who he doesn't do yibam, who he does chalitza, who he doesn't do chalitza with? Ela lav kshera le, psula psule. Rather, it must mean that what? Kshera means to him the surviving brother, and psula means what? To him the surviving brother. Umayni hu. I will say, what would be the case of ksheirolei or psulolei, machzir grushaso. It must be a case of vatrabosai. It must be a case of where the deceased brother remarried the woman whom he divorced. In which case, what Rabosai? In which case, again, what will be our stenau again? So Reuven was married to Leah, divorced Leah. Leah married another guy. Leah got divorced again from marriage number two. Reuven remarries Leah, illegal marriage, but it still works. And now Reuven died. So Abraham's the Bryce is saying, now remember, we'll say, what's her status vis-a-vis the surviving brothers? Technically, she's Asura. Right, because it wasn't a legal marriage. So what does the Braisa tell me? The Braisa says, if you have a woman who's asura to you, you should do chalitza. But it doesn't make sense. Because why? Because it says again, and if lamaisa, if she was ksheri, do yimut ksheri. So which one is it? Is it us? Is she kasher or is she pasal? Tushim HaSavah will say no. The olam kshera, kshera li'ama, psula, psulam. We'll say in reality. So kshera and psula refer to what? Her status vis-a-vis the kahuna. They couldn't. I will say, so the Braisa is teaching a very interesting case. Reuven died, and he left two wives, Rachel and Leah. Rachel is Kshera Lakuna, Leah is Psula Lakuna. I will say, how could that happen? So very easy. Again, this could be Rachel's first marriage. Leah was divorced once before. She's a Grusha, and therefore she can't marry a Kohen. So what does the Braisa say? So surviving brother Shimon, if you're going to do Yibum, bless you. If you're going to do Yibum with Rachel, who is the Kshera wife. But if you're going to do chalitza with what? With Leah, the psula wife. Why? But who cares? I don't understand. Both of these women are permitted to Shimon. So what does it matter which one Shimon does Yibam with? Or which one Shimon does Yibam with? I'll tell you why. Rabbi Yosef is a very profound idea. Rabbi Yosef taught the following statement. Lo yishpoch adam meboro. Never pour out the water in your pail if others require it. Rabbi Yosef, which is another way of saying that lemaisa, which is a very important metaphor, when making your decisions in life, don't just make your decisions based on what's best for you, but make your decisions with others in mind. Rabbi Yosef, so watch this. Reuven died, he leaves two widows, Rachel and Leah. Right? Rachel is ksher lekahuna, Leah is psul lekahuna. So you'll say to yourself, well, who cares? Shimon's not a Kohen, so what does it matter? I'll tell you what it was, because we're going to see that after a woman has had chalitza, she essentially has the status of grusha, which means what? That she is not permitted to marry a Kohen. Therefore, again, the Gemara says like this. If you're going to do chalitza anyway, don't tarnish Rachel, right? Instead, if you're going to do chalitza with Leah. Because since Leah is already Asura Lekahuna, therefore what? The Chalitza is not going to impact her. But if you go ahead and you do Chalitza with Rachel, then what's going to happen? That negatively impacts her status vis-a-vis the Kuna. Because also remember again, if you don't do Chalitza with Rachel, then what's Rachel's status? What's her status? She's an Amana, she's a widow. A widow is totally permitted to go ahead and marry a Kohen. She doesn't have, remember, only the wife who actually does Chalitza has the status of Chalitza. So it's such a profound yisod. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, even though Shimon, it makes no difference to you which one you're going to do Yibum with or which one you're going to do Chalitza with. It doesn't make a difference. If you're going to do Yibum, then do Yibum again with the woman with the higher standing, i.e. the one who's Kshei Rilakuna. And if you're going to do Chalitza, then have in mind the ripley of impact that Chalitza is going to have. We'll say a very profound metaphor. Before you throw out, don't throw out the water in your bucket. I'm not thirsty. I'm totally fine. But if other people need the water, don't spill out the water in the bucket. Very profound metaphor. So the Gemara goes right there.
What would be the problem if he did Yibum on Leah, in that case for Rachel?
Technically speaking, there's no problem. Except what it seems to be saying is if you're going to do Yibum, you might as well do it with the wife of the with the higher standing, so to speak. Yeah. So Gemara says the following. Tashma, Hamachzi Grushasa Mishanises. Both says the same case as before. Reuven is married to Leah, then divorces Leah. Leah marries another guy, divorces him, and now again Reuven remarries Leah. Also, you can't do it, but they did it. Machzi Grushasa Mishanises, He Vitsarasa Choletzesi. So both say, what happens? Both she and her Sarah and her co-wife both do Yibum. So the Gemara says, "Bitzarasa sakadaitcha ela ema ohi otzarasa." So what do you mean? Both of them have to do chalitza? Rather, what it means to say is that no, either one do chalitza. So the Gemara says, "Ela, excuse me, belav tarutzei kametaratztala." But one second, what's happening? Does that mean you're giving an answer to this kasha? Taritz hachi, he choletes tzarasa o choletes o mesevemes. Rather, interpret it this way: she has to do chalitza. And I will say, why does she have to do chalitza? Because technically speaking, she's in an illegal marriage. So because she's in an illegal marriage, we're not going to go, or she was in an illegal marriage, her husband now died. So she could do chalitza, she has to do chalitza, but the tzar, the co-wife, has the ability to do chalitza or yibum. Am Rabbi Chaber Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan Boy, Hamach Zirgusha, so Mishani says Sarah Samahu. But yet again, we see over here that now this kasha is being asked. Someone remarries. His grusha after she remarried a second guy and then he died. What's her status for yibum? Amrali Rabbi Amivit, he boilach, he gufa. So what's like, it's interesting. Why are you asking about the tzara? Why don't you ask about the wife herself? Meaning, before you get to the question of what can the co-wife do, why don't you ask what the primary wife could do? So the Gemara says, I don't understand, what's the kasha? Da'aminon, he gufa lochami boili. I'm not worried about her herself. You know why? Da'aminon kavachomer, because I have a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Bimutr la asura ba'asra la lakoshkin, on both sides. Obviously, in the case of Machzer Grushaso, it goes without saying that she can't do Yibum. Because the Kavachom, what's the Kavachom Rabosai? Because if she was prohibited to the man to whom she was married, i.e., she was prohibited to her now deceased husband, it goes without saying that what? That she's going to be prohibited to his brother. Ki kami baili, but where do I have the kasha? Tzara samai. The question is, what is the status of the co-wife? Mi olim Kavachomer lemitchit tzara. Do we apply that same Kavachomer to the co-wife? And say therefore that she should be precluded from yibum, olo or not. Had a different kasha, or he phrased the kasha differently. Amrab chia bar Abba by Rabbi Yochanan hamachzir grushasu misheni says mahu. What is Rabbi saying? In this version again, they're mamish asking about the machzir grushasu herself, the actual wife herself, the one who was divorced and then remarried. Amri Rabbi Ami v'tibay lach tzarasa. Why don't you ask about the co-wife? Sarasa lo kami baili. No, I don't have such a kasha about the co-wife. You know why? De lo alim kavachomer lemidchit tzara. Because at the end of the day, everyone agrees that the kavachomer is not strong enough to go ahead and set aside the law for the tzara. And therefore, the tzara has the ability to do yibum. Eloki kami baili. But rather, here's my kasha. He gufamai. I will say, what about the machzir grushasa wife herself? Mi alim kavachomer b'mako mitzvah olo. Does the kavachomer? What's the kavachomer? The kavachomer was the man to whom she was already married was usher to her. Certainly will be usher to what? To go out and do yibum. So do we apply that kavachomer mako mitzvah? What's a mako mitzvah in a yibum situation or not? So we'll say that's the kasha we're going to end off with today. So just to bear in mind, we're ending off with just one simple basic. Well, not simple, but one basic kasha, which is Rabosai. If a man went ahead and remarried, machzir grushaso mishenises. Man was married to a woman, divorced that woman, she then went on to marry someone else, and then what happens? She gets divorced from the second husband, then she remarries her first husband, illegal marriage, but nevertheless, according to everyone except Rabbi Akiva, the marriage works. Husband now dies childless, so halacha lemaisa, we're asking what? Two different versions of the question. Version number one is everyone agrees that of course the machzir grushasa wife herself can't do yibum. But I will say, let's say again, Reuven wasn't just married to Leah. Reuven was also married to Rachel. He was married to Rachel the whole time. So let's say in version number one, everyone agrees that Leah, the machzir grushasa wife, there's no yibum by her because of kavachomer. So the shaila is what? The shaila is that kavachomer strong enough to also say that the tzara wife doesn't do yibum or not? In version number two of the kasha, everyone agrees that what? In version number two, the question of Yibum was on the Machzir Grushasa wife herself. And in that version, we say what? In that version, we say that the Tzara is certainly permitted to do Yibum. The Shaila is on what? On the Machzir Grushasa wife herself. So we'll stop with this question. But we'll say also, just importantly, we did clarify a few very important Yibum points, which I just want everyone to take with them. Number one, because there was some confusion based on Shitra of Reish Lakish yesterday. Number one, there's only one act of Yibum per family, which means that even if the deceased had many wives, and many surviving brothers, there is only one brother who does Yibam or Chalitza with one wife. And that act of Yibam or Chalitza exempts everyone else from, or not just exempts, takes care of the obligation for everyone, to the point that it would then be usur for any of the other brothers to go ahead and connect or marry any of their now deceased brothers' wives. Let's say one of the brothers did end up marrying one of the deceased brothers' wives. So remember, we passed in Halacha L'maaseh like Rabbi Yochanan, that at most it's a lav, at most it's a prohibition, but it appears according to the Rambam that in fact it's not really a prohibition. What is it really? It's a violation of an aseh. Interestingly enough, it's a violation of a positive commandment. There's no Isser Kares, there's no Isser Eva, because once the brother dies, effectively, the status of Eishes Ach, the status of one's brother's wife, essentially falls away. We'll say, we'll stop over here. Correct. It's not. We'll see. The older brother is the one who has first rights. The one who has first rights. But if one of the younger brothers jumped in first, then the mice, again, he exempts the whole family.
And then
I mean, there is a general reason makdimin limitsness that applies, but we will see that there are certain times where the surviving brother is very young. He's very young. You could have a situation where a brother died and the only surviving brother is a katan. In that case, we have to wait for the katan to reach the age of majority before we can go ahead and do so. You could technically have a yibum situation that could be years. That could be years.
How about the wives? Can he pick which of the wives to do yibum with?
Yes, he could pick any of the wives to do yibum. Correct. Yeah. There's no din in like the oldest wife or the most senior wife. No, he could pick anyone. And obviously, it goes without saying that if some of them are older, some of them are younger, the din of yibum would really be upon the childbearing wives, because the whole point is to have children.
So I can't remember. Does the co-wife then have to wait for the katan? You know, she can't remarry. She has to wait like 10, 11, 12 years.
We are gonna see those cases. Absolutely, everybody has to wait. It's not just one, right? Yeah. Everybody, because remember, until Yimur Chalitza is done, all the wives. Yeah,
that's a
problem.
Could be a very difficult situation.
By the time this katan is growing up, she might not be able to bear children.
It's possible. It's possible.
When we say the matzah of Rosh Hashanah, you don't do yibum, you do chalitza. Does that mean if you did yibum, the kedushin is not chal?
No, if you did yibum, the kedushin is probably. I have to look up what Rambam says in that case, but I would venture to say the kedushin is probably chal.
Because it was.
Because
with
it's kedushin, right? Because the kedushin is tovsin b'chai v'ilach. I think I'm gonna look what the Rambam says on that. I don't want to say that for sure until I look that up. Tomorrow, so for both days, no, it's in the afternoons. For both days, yeah. I know, I switched the schedule. Simchas Torah was always in the afternoon. Shemini Atzeres originally was in the morning, but now we're going to do the afternoon. I'm not sure offhand. We'll send out the schedule today in Mirtz Hashem. Yeah, Mirtz Hashem. All right. Yeah, so the Rambam writes that either the husband, either the Yavam or the Yavama, could refuse to enter into a Yibum relationship and say, I don't want this. And then we just do Chalitza.
And that's made Rabbanim, I guess. With her, it looks like she has no right to refuse.
I don't know. I have to look with Lashon Rambam on that. The Rambam says that
it's... You've got the right to do...
Right, he has the right to 100%.
I mean, the idea is he should be married.
Correct. Correct.
Even if she refuses, like
yeah, I don't know. Because the Rambam only says, the Rambam writes, in Perek Aleph, he writes that she has the right to refuse Yibum. I don't know, is he talking Doraisa, Drabanan? I don't know, I have to look at that. That's a good question. I have to look at it. Timir Tzeshem. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Fuck the other.